blessing to be gathered this evening. The intent of this time together this evening is to maybe just give a bit of example in how to lead someone through to salvation. I know there's various ones here that have maybe done it frequently, others that when it comes to sharing the gospel, whether it's to someone in the local area, someone you work with, or maybe it's even your children, maybe there's a bit of uncertainty as to how to go about leading your children through to salvation. And what we want to do here tonight is just give a bit of a sampling of that. And what I want to share here tonight is most certainly not all-inclusive. And over the years in leading various people to the Lord, it all depends where a person is as to where you'll focus, okay? So if it's to people who have a limited Bible knowledge, there's certain things from the Old Testament and the origin of man and all those things, and then Christ and salvation and all that, that needs to have a lot more time spent with. Other times, it might be a young person who maybe has certain struggles in certain areas, and they, you know, and it needs to be focused on certain areas. So I'm saying that to just say, what I want to share tonight is not the perfect way to help someone come to the Lord. It's simply maybe an outline, maybe it's something that can help you in your journey in learning how to do that. And because it is something that I trust all of us want to do, right? Yeah, it's something we all want to do. So what I've chosen to do this evening is I have our dear brother sitting here, and he has nicely consented to just simply help and be here and give a bit of a demonstration. If, you know, it's easier if you're talking to someone specifically and relating scripture. So I like to just maybe use him tonight as an example, and we'll do some dialoguing back and forth as we go. So before we start, could we all just bow our heads to pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the pure, holy Word of God. We thank you that it's the answer for mankind. It shows us clearly how that we as humans, how as we as mankind can come to you, and how you can wash our sins away, and how we can live holy, pure, godly lives. We ask, Lord, that as we spend this time together tonight, you would just inspire us. I ask for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. I ask for clear thoughts. Ask for a burden. Ask, Lord, that as we communicate and share here, it could be in a way that it could benefit all of us. So thank you, Lord, for your grace here tonight. Please guide us, and may your will be done. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are looking at leading a person to salvation. And so as we look at the whole subject of how do you and I get right with God? How's that done? That's what we like to talk about. And if I could maybe start out with maybe an overview. So all of us, you and I, are here tonight, and there's this huge gap between God and man. And maybe I should just ask you the question, how did that come about? Why is there a gap between God and man? Could you tell me, you know, what is it? You know, what's a gap between God and man? What is that? Or what does that come from? Do you know?
First of all, I want to say I got into this. I made a remark to one of the brothers. I think this would be fun. And somehow it tattled back to him. And I get a phone call.
That's good.
So the question he asked, I didn't know before. So it's on the, a gap is something that's not connected.
That's right. Okay, so obviously God in heaven, he's a holy God. He's pure. And he made us. He made man. He made you and I. And we, before we were converted, we were lost. Okay, what does that gap come from? Why the gap, or what does that gap come from? Do you know?
He's holy. I'm not. I want my own way. I don't want to do what he wants me to do.
That's good. That's good. I think a good place for us to go to begin is maybe just talk about Genesis. Okay. And I'm sure you're quite familiar with Genesis and Adam and Eve. So if we look at Adam and Eve, when God created them, they were pure. Is that right? There was no sin there.
Yes.
There was no sin. And with Adam and Eve and God, am I right in saying that there was fellowship there? Before the fall, we're talking about before the fall, before Adam and Eve sinned, there was fellowship there.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, that fellowship. So when we talk about conversion, when we talk about us getting right with God, what we're basically saying is we'd like to become how Adam and Eve were with that fellowship. That fellowship, God has a desire to restore that fellowship with you and I. Okay. God would come into the garden and he talked to Adam and Eve. And there's fellowship there. In fact, scripture is very clear, and we could turn to a number of scriptures that's very clear that God made us for himself, for fellowship, for his glory. But when God made Adam and Eve, you know the story of how Adam and Eve sinned. And what was the first thing that Adam and Eve did after they sinned?
They hid themselves.
They hid themselves, that's right. Why did they hide themselves?
They were afraid of him.
Yeah, that's right.
Disobeyed.
Adam and Eve had disobeyed, so they went and they hid themselves, and you clearly see that gap. That wasn't there before, was it?
No.
That gap was not there before. God's heart, God's ultimate heart for you and I is to have fellowship with you and I. So our question, you know, when we talk about us getting right with God, us helping someone to get right with God, ultimately we're looking at that restoring that fellowship. That's at the heart of it. Because scripture is clear, no sin will ever enter heaven. No sin will ever enter heaven. So, what separates us from God? Sin.
Yes.
Our own way. Our own selfishness, our own sinful ways. It's that separates us from God. So, what we look at, when we look at this evening, is how do we get right with God? How do we restore that fellowship and that oneness with God? If you look in the Old Testament scripture, we could look at various ones. I don't think I'll take time, but we're very familiar with all the animal sacrifices that were there in the Old Testament. The time of Moses, the children of Israel, God had the law. And when there was sin, when they disobeyed, there was consequences. But there's also animal sacrificing. All those animals that were sacrificed, the blood from those animals were for the atonement of the sins of the people, so that God's anger would be turned away, so that God could have a level of fellowship there. Now, one thing I'd like to just specifically say here is when those animal sacrifices when they sacrificed the animal and the blood was taken to cover their sins, it covered their sins, but it didn't give them a new nature. And that's why if you come into the new covenant in the New Testament era and Jesus came, he came to give us a new nature. He came to give us a new, a transformed life, to bring salvation. That salvation is not only to take our sin away, but it's us to save us from our sins, not in our sins. It's to bring us together. Okay, so in looking at what salvation or conversion is, there's two primary things that it takes to get right with God. And that's initially for us to get right with God. When we are converted, it's also those two things that keep us there, as well as if we somehow fall away, it's also that those two things that we need to do to come back to God. And those two primary things are, one is repentance, and the other one is faith. And so a lot of what we're going to go down through here and the scriptures we want to look at have to do with either repentance or faith in one way or another. So in considering what repentance is, turn with me. Maybe we want to first look at the book of Acts. I want to start in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The context here that we're looking at is of the day of Pentecost. In the beginning of chapter 2 is Pentecost. And it's how the Holy Spirit came down. Peter started preaching. They repented. They spoke in tongues. There was a clear salvation message going on as Peter and the apostles were sharing, preaching there. But we'll drop down in verse 37. Actually, verse 21 says, "And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what should we do?" Now let me just ask you a question here. When there's guilt, when there's a guilt of sin and the Lord starts knocking and all of a sudden you see your sins, do you know what I mean by that pricking?
Yes.
That pricking, when that pricking comes and then all of a sudden you're saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Okay, that's where they were. And actually in the context here, it's a couple thousand people that found salvation that day. But they were saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? I see I did wrong. I see I'm not right with God. What do I do?" Okay, that was the question. Now, can you read for me verse 38?
Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost."
Very good. Okay, so in this scripture it says repent and be baptized.
What does repent mean?
Okay, so Repentance, if you look up the word repentance, it means to take a different direction, to turn. Now, in Isaiah chapter 53, I think verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone our own way. Now, am I right in saying that, you know, you've sort of gone your own way already? Or have you always been obedient to God and His Word?
No.
You haven't always been obedient to God and His Word?
No, but I was a good person.
But you were a good person?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a real blessing. Well, I have some other scriptures maybe that we can turn to. Why don't we turn to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5. And before we read that, let me ask you another question. Have you ever lied?
Only when there was a need.
Only when there was a need.
Yeah.
That's. Can you share with me what the needs were?
I wanted to look good like other people.
Oh.
You know.
Okay. Okay. So you have lied already. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
Have you ever been in any sexual immorality?
Yes, but I didn't hurt anybody else.
Mm-hmm. And so there's various scriptures that we could turn to, but we are here at Galatians 5, and it lists like a whole bunch, a whole lot of scriptures, okay. Sins. But let's just read here. In verse 19 of chapter 5, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, the adultery is sexual immorality outside of marriage. Fornication is as a single person being involved in sexual immorality. Uncleanness is other forms of immorality. Variance is divisions. Emulations is another form of divisions. You have wrath. Have you ever been angry, Joel?
Yes.
Have you ever had wrath?
What does the word wrath mean?
It's an extreme form of anger.
Yes.
Drunkenness, have you ever been drunk?
No.
Revelings, that's partying. Have you ever been in that?
Yes.
And then there's other things here like idolatry, witchcraft. There's various forms of witchcraft that a lot of people are in these days. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of which I tell you, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'd like to just suggest something here. These sins that you have been in, way before you even sinned them, you know, Isaiah 53 says, "For all we like sheep have gone our own way." So, I'll say it in other words, God here wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the fruit of the Spirit of God, and God wants us to simply obey the Bible. Anything outside of an obedience to God's will is disobedience, okay? So that's when we talk about going my own way. That's what we're talking about. So, am I right that you knew that it was wrong to steal?
Yes.
And you stole anyhow?
Yes.
And am I right that you knew it was wrong to lie, but you lied anyhow?
Yes.
Okay. So what you were doing here is deep down inside you wanted to do, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, right? Okay. That right there is at the core of our sinful nature. That's at the core. At the core of our sinfulness is my own way.
So you're saying just saying a lie. I wasn't involved in drunkenness, idolatry, witchcraft, and those things. Just lying makes me a bad person?
Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, and we'll just read what it says about lying. Revelation chapter 21, actually. Revelation chapter 21. It says, Revelation 21, and can you read verse 8 to me?
But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers, the warmongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Okay. So what that's saying is all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so outside, anything outside of obedience to God and His Word is sin. And here it very clearly says that they which do such things, where will you end up if you continue lying?
It says we'll burn with fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Now, I have a question for you. Would you like for me to share with you how to come to the place where you have peace with God? Would you be open to that? Now, I'm not asking for a decision right now on the side of whether you want to commit your life to God. I'm asking the question, are you open for me to just simply share what the Bible says? You open to that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let's go back again to Acts chapter 2, and let's talk about repentance a bit more. So repentance, at the core of repentance, is a turning away from my own way. Now, am I right that when you were trying to, or when you lied, when you stole, when you committed those other sins that you've done, at the core of it, you were trying to, or you were just, I'm going to do it anyhow.
I was hungry when I stole a cookie. Was that wrong, stealing the cookie when I was hungry? I was hungry.
The Bible says it is.
Okay.
The Bible says it is. Now, here's another question. Do you believe that this is the authority?
It's a good book.
what do you think about the Bible? Do you believe it as an authority, or is that in question for you?
It's an authority.
Okay, good. Now, Scripture is clear that one day you and I are going to stand before Almighty God, and you and I are going to be judged by what it says in this book. We're going to be judged. So, I want to know what the Bible says, because what the Bible says, I want to know that, because I want to align my life to what the Scripture says. And you might not want to do that, but I do. Okay, so coming back to this whole thing of repentance, I want to talk about repentance. So, repentance is turning. Okay, so you, for your life, in your growing up years, there was a pursuing your own way. There was lying, there's anger, there was, you know, you name it. But that came out of something deep in your heart that I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay, called my own way. They all went their own way. Okay, now when we want to repent, we need to repent of the sins, but at the core of it, there's a yielding and a surrendering of your heart that has to happen before Almighty God, where you come to the place and say, God, if your word says it, I will surrender myself and I will obey this word. Okay, that's a repentance of my own way. Okay, so there's all these sins. You know, there's a lot of people today who want their sins washed away. Because when you committed sins, it made you guilty, right?
Yes.
And that guilt made you very uncomfortable. And a lot of people want their sins washed away, but they're not willing to surrender their will to follow the Bible, to follow God at all cost. A lot of people aren't willing to do that. And so, coming back to looking at repentance. Repentance is just a surrender. It's also a confession of sins. Now turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 helps us to see a bit how we should view ourself and our sin and how we are before God. John chapter 3, and we're going to drop down to verse 19. John chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, when you committed sins, did you try to hide it?
You know, if I just didn't say nothing, was I hiding it? By just not saying it?
Yep.
I was, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's hiding.
That's hiding? Just not saying it. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
This is condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Do you relate to the darkness, to loving the darkness and hiding? Do you relate to that?
Yes.
Men love darkness rather than light. So you didn't want people to know the bad things that you'd done in your life, did you?
Why would they have to know?
Am I right?
Yeah.
Right? You were hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
You were hiding. Okay. Just look at this. Here it says, and this is condemnation. Light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now we're talking about getting right with God. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You didn't want your deeds reproved. Now verse 21, but he that doeth truth. Now, if you're looking at getting right with God, if you're looking at getting right with God, He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they're wrought in God. Now, if you want to continue in sin, you can just continue hiding. You know, you just hide. You know, you don't expose. But if you want to get right with God, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. So you bring your deeds. Now, for myself, there are things that I had done as a young man that I didn't want anyone to hear, anyone to know. I didn't want anyone to know. No one. But when I sat in your shoes and I was at a place where I wanted to get right with God, I was pricked in my heart and I was coming and saying, how do I get right with God? I brought all my deeds to the light, like it's saying here. It says, but he that doeth truth. You want to do truth? You bring your deeds to the light. Okay, now, there are some people who are willing to bring some sins and confess some sins, but they're too embarrassed to bring the other sins.
Is there a need that we're talking about the Bible as an authority?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm like my cousin Joe, he was always a good person. He never did these things. Does he still need this?
Do you think that he never ever did anything wrong, or did it just look like that on the surface?
He looked good.
He looked good. Well, according to Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And I've never met anyone who hasn't sinned. Never, ever, ever. If you find someone, bring him to me because I like to meet him. Now, I have, and I hear you have. And if you find someone like that, you let me know, okay?
Okay.
All right. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Okay, now, here's a big question. Here we are as sinners, how do we get right with God? And how do we get these sins to be washed away? How does that happen? Okay, I want to remind you just a bit, at the core of it is my own way. And you are going to need to come to the place where you surrender and you're willing to just lay everything down, confess all your sins. What does confess mean?
Confess. Putting everything on the table, which is putting everything out. Is that what confess means?
Confess means to say with your mouth.
Okay.
Okay. It means to speak. In Romans, it talks about confessing Christ Jesus. It's saying with your mouth. So confession of sin is where you confess. It's not thinking it. It's confessing it with your mouth. Confession. Turn with me to 1 John. I want to read a couple verses in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I want to read here. First John chapter 1, and we're going to read in verse 8 where it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's St. John. Or I'm sorry, it's 1 John. Just before Revelation. 1 John chapter 1. Okay, 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins. Again, confess means to say them. If we confess our sins, who's he?
You told me God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness.
That sounds good.
All unrighteousness, right?
That's what mine says. But
if we confess our sins, okay, now this is very simple. If you confess your sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, would you like to be the place where all your unrighteousness and sins are gone?
What does that cost? Cost my whole being? Is that what you're saying?
It's, on one hand, it's free. On the other hand, it costs everything. In other words, you need to come to the place where you are willing to surrender everything. And everything means, first of all, everything that's dear to you, you need to lay down. It means you need to surrender your wife, your children. It means you need to surrender your money. It means you need to surrender everything you have, everything. You need to just give it to God and say, God, I'm willing to surrender everything, and I'm willing to obey your word and follow you.
You say my wife and children.
That's right. So in other words, we don't know, but it's possible that God has plans for them in a way that is different than what your plans are. And when that happens, sometimes it hurts. And we sometimes feel like we have rights and we have things that we hang on to. But God wants us to just have an open hand and surrender everything. And then he can use it to his glory. And it's not for our own pleasure, but it's for his pleasure. Okay, now, I want to just come back. If I can just share with you, repentance is just surrendering my will in every area. It's confessing all my sins. It's just confessing, exposing them. Confessing them, not hiding. It's just exposing them. Now, let me share this with you. If you're at a place where you'd confess all your sins every day, you confess them and confess them and confess them. You know, you confess them today, then tomorrow you confess them again, then the next day you confess them again. Would that save you?
No.
Just confessing them, that in itself won't save us. Now that's a part of it. See, that's the repentance part of it. And over here we have the faith. Faith is another part of it. Now, let me just go on and talk more about what faith is. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Okay, so on one hand we have repentance, on the other hand we have faith. And we want to talk some about faith. Now, faith in what? And I think you're quite familiar with what Jesus Christ did, what Jesus did, and so I won't just spend lots of time with that. But at the core of faith is we have to confess our sins, we need to turn away from our own way. And then Jesus has brought the great salvation. At the core of it, Jesus is the one. He came as a baby. Yeah, he grew up, and then he died on the cross. He gave his life for you and I, and he was that lamb. You know, we're talking about the Old Testament. So Jesus was that lamb, and he gave his life, and he shed his blood, and his blood is what now washes our sins away. Okay, so our only salvation, the only way that we can really get right with God is through repentance, confession, and then putting our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Now let me describe to you what faith is. Let me describe that to you. So, do you believe that Adam and Eve were the first man and the first woman?
Yes.
Why do you believe that?
The Bible tells us that.
Mm-hmm. You're choosing to believe that because the Bible tells us that. Now, aren't you a fool in doing that? I mean, you weren't there. I mean, that's what, 6,000 years ago. And aren't you a fool to believe what the Bible says? But you're choosing to believe the Bible, right?
Yeah.
You're choosing to believe the Bible. And you're choosing to do that because you believe this is the Word of God, and so you're choosing to believe that. Okay, do you believe that Cain and Abel were the first two boys that God gave Adam and Eve? What do you believe that? I mean, you weren't there. Am I right? You're choosing to believe that because the Bible says so, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm trying to demonstrate what faith is. You're choosing, even though you weren't there, you didn't see that with your eyes, but you have come to the place where you look at the Bible as the authority. And so even though you weren't there, you're expressing faith. You're expressing that you believe what the Bible says. That's faith. Now, Noah, how many sons did Noah have?
Three.
And Noah and the three sons and their wives, they went into the ark. And the whole flood, you know the whole story. Now, do you really believe that there's water higher than all the mountains? Do you believe that? You're choosing to believe that because the Bible says.
Yes.
You're choosing to believe that. That's faith.
Okay.
All right. Now, do you believe that Jesus came and he gave us life? And he gave us life and that he rose from the dead? Do you believe what the Bible says with that? You're choosing to believe that simply because of what the Bible says. You weren't there.
Okay.
You weren't there. Okay, now, let me tell you where people get stuck.
Okay.
All right. So many times, I can share the gospel like this with people, and then we can kneel down and we can pray, okay? And people will confess all their sins, even their private sins that they have committed, no one knows, but they... When they kneel down, they confess all their sins openly. They're not trying to hide just because I'm with them, but they confess them to God, and they're just open with me too, all right? Ultimately, they're dealing with God. It's not, and you, if you want to get right with God, that's between you and God. I'm here to show you what Scripture says, but this is between you and Almighty God. All right, now this is what happens. We kneel down and we pray, and people confess their sins. And they ask Jesus to come into their heart. And after everything is done, I ask them the question, so, did Jesus wash your sins away? And guess what often comes? They say, well, I don't know. Now, go with me to 1 John. I want to look at those verses again, 1 John, that we just read a little bit ago. 1 John chapter 1. And we want to look at what this says. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, if we, who's we? You and I, confess with our mouth, we confess our sins. Now, how many sins do you want forgiven? In a couple, or do you want everything?
Just the ones you know.
Got it.
Okay.
I was afraid of that. If we confess our sins, then he, okay, if we do that, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you want that. I know you do. I know you want every sin washed away. I know you want to be cleansed and washed, and I know you want that fellowship with God. I know you do. Okay? But if you confess your sins, what does God say he's going to do here?
He says he's faithful and forgive us.
Okay.
And cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay. Now, so what do you call that if we confess all our sins and then I ask you the question, did God forgive them? What do you call that? Unbelief. Do you follow that? Okay, so you sit here and you don't have any problem believing Adam and Eve. You don't have any problem with that. You know, you don't have any problem believing in the flood. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, all those animals coming to the ark and water higher than all the mountains, and you were never there, but you actually believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here it says, if we confess all our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you do that, and then I ask you, so did Jesus wash your sins away? I don't know. Do you follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me take you to Mark chapter 16 again, that we read earlier. Mark chapter 16. Okay, Mark chapter 16, and we're just going to read in verse 16, where it says,
he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
That's right. So if you don't believe what God's word says, you will be damned. That's a pretty fearful thing, right? See, this is what happens. It's easy for us to look at the Bible and look at things in the past, and we believe that. We believe about Jesus, crucifixion, rising from the dead. I mean, that's a phenomenal thing. I mean, you know, we've never seen that. But we believe that that's what happened with Jesus. But it's harder for us when it comes to something that I feel. This is what people face. What people face is, I confess my sins, and then I don't feel saved. How do you know what I mean? All of a sudden, you know, are your sins washed away? Well, and immediately your mind is going to how I feel. Do I feel saved? Well, what does the Bible say? Right? So faith is a need to trust him. Believe him and his word. And anything outside of that is unbelief. Anything outside of that is unbelief. Okay, now, let me just ask you this question. Now, you see yourself as being a sinner. You see yourself as having committed all these sins. What hinders you from right now, just simply us kneeling down and confessing all your sins. All your sins. Now, let me just say, you know, I'm not going to ask you to do this here, okay? All right. But
some pride. I don't.
But this is what, what hinders you? What keeps you from right now surrendering every area of your life? See, there's pride, there's arrogance, there's self, there's your own way, there's all those sins, and there's a separation from God. There's, you know, God wants you to have peace with him. God wants you to be with him in glory one day. What hinders you from now making a choice of just surrendering everything to God and coming to God on his terms rather than your terms? What keeps you from doing that? Okay. I'm not going to ask you to do that. But, okay, helping someone to come to a place of clear decision, to where there's a surrendering of my own will, my own way, a willingness to confess all my sins, a willingness to just give everything and choose to obey God for the rest of my life. That's what we're endeavoring to do. Okay, so what I would normally do is, if a person is at the place where they're willing to do that, I would kneel down on the floor with them, and they would just simply confess all the sins that they've ever committed that they remember. Okay? See, in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, then he's faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so we confess the things that we know and that we're aware of, okay? The things that God places and brings in our memory. So we confess all that. Okay, so we just kneel down and they would just start confessing. They would just confess. They would just out loud, they would just confess all those sins to God and ask him to wash it away with his blood. Then they would also, in kneeling together, they would make a choice and tell God, Lord, I'm willing to commit my life to serve you the rest of my days. I'm willing to obey the Bible. I'm willing to submit myself to you and follow you all of my days. So, you know, that full surrender. Okay? So there's a repentance. There's a surrendering of the will. And then, I need to show you a couple more scriptures. Turn with me to Revelation. Revelation, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, there is a verse that I just really like. It's Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, who is this talking? It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. Who's talking here? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, and who's that? You. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Now, who opens the door? You. You open the door. You choose to open the door to Jesus. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Now, do you believe that?
Yes.
I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Okay? So when you kneel down and you confess all your sins, he's been knocking on your door. You know, he's been knocking on your door and he's been saying, you know, I'd love to just wash all your sins away. I'd love for you to just surrender everything. I would like to come in and sup with you, but you need to open the door. And how do you open the door? You do that by confessing all your sins. Now, can you just, I'll just get that picture. Here's Christ. I'm here, all my sins, and I confess all my sins, and he washes and cleanses me from all unrighteousness, and it's all clean. See, he won't come in if it's not all clean, right? So repentance is confessing, turning away, surrendering. And then we invite him in. Then he comes in. This is what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. That's a promise. And we again just simply need to choose to believe what he says here. We just simply believe. Okay, now I want to show you another verse. Turn with me to Luke, I believe it's chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Okay, this is in the context of asking and receiving, and in the end here, here's the point. The end here, it says that if we ask for the Holy Spirit, He'll give it. Okay? All right? So would you like the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay. So here He tells us how to get it. Okay. We're going to drop down, and we'll start in verse 10. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. He that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now this is in the context of receiving the Holy Spirit. You receiving the Holy Spirit. If a son shall ask bread of a son, of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Of course not. If you ask the Holy Spirit, would he give you a stone? Of course not. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Of course not. Or if he ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Of course not. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you want the Holy Spirit? Of course. And how do you do it? Simply ask. Okay, so here we are. We kneel down. You confess all your sins to God. You surrender your will. You open the door. You say, God, come in. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And then there's a full commitment, surrender, just a full yielding. And then in the end, I like to ask, so did he wash your sins away?
Yes.
And then, if he did, well, thank him for it, you know? All right, so we're doing, bringing someone to salvation and conversion is we're doing what the Bible tells us to do. And then it's repentance and faith. Now, I'd like for you to also turn to Romans chapter 10. If a person is at that place where they have chosen to have all their sins washed away, chosen to surrender every area of their life, they confess, all those things. Now, Romans chapter 10, we want to look at a couple verses here. That someone who has freshly yielded themselves to God, there's something about opening our mouth, and Romans 10 tells us to do that, okay? Here it says, Romans 10, verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, what's he done for you? He's washed your sins away. What's he done for you? He's changed my life. Who is he? He's Lord of all. There's something about opening your mouth. Here it says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from them. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, so here's a responsibility I'm going to give to you. I'm going to tell you to tell these people back here what he's done for you. Now, okay, here it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So has he done something for you?
Yes.
Yes. Well, why don't you just tell these people back here what he's done for you? Are you too shy to do that? I mean, it's all right. I mean, just tell them. I mean, they're all waiting for you.
Jesus washed my sins away.
And who is he to you?
My Lord.
Amen. Okay, there's something about opening your mouth. Here it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Sometimes there's a shyness. People are like, well, you know, what if I didn't do everything right? And what if I don't? There's all kinds of fears. There's something about obeying what he says here in Romans chapter 10, simply opening my mouth and sharing the gospel with someone else and sharing what God has done. There's something that just God comes and here it says, thou shalt be saved. Do you want that?
Yes. I don't want it. I have it.
Thank the Lord. Good. So that's just an overview. Do any of you have questions? There's lots of different things, ways to go about it, but that's a bit of an overview. Lots of different scriptures can be used in sharing the gospel and in helping bring people to a clear place. But the thing of faith is something that a lot of people tend to struggle with, and helping sort through faith and believing, I feel, is very important with that. Any questions someone has? Yes. Yes. If a person is not at the place where they're open to have a Bible study, you know, I like to nudge them. If a person is open, then I like to move forward, even though in their heart they might not be at a place where they're just ready to surrender. And by the way, there's a young man, he isn't here tonight, but he was at a place where he came and he was wanting to just simply dialogue and talk, and he had no intention of surrendering his heart. And yet there was a level of openness, and I took him through scripture. An hour and a half later, he was saying, yes, I'm willing to surrender my heart to God in every area. Okay? So, but there was a level of openness there. So I'm just simply saying that to say, if someone digs in their heels, it is what it is. But if there's a level of openness, even though they're not just, hey, just, you know, I want to get converted. If the door is cracked, walk through it. But if someone is not open, there's only so far you can go. Any other questions someone has? Yes. I have actually a couple times, actually twice I've had where people were at such a desperate place they were beating the floor. I've had that twice for me. I've had to just simply use other means of trying to help them understand what faith is. And in using examples of trying to, I remember for the one young man, he had struggled. He so desperately wanted to get right with God, and he for 4 years was living in a state of unbelief. He had tried to get converted. He had confessed all his sins, and he was in this place of where he was in unbelief, and yet he didn't know it. He felt like he had done everything, and yet he wasn't sure how to move forward. Different people tried to help him. I remember that time one of the examples that I used was he was a young man, and I just asked him, so your dad quite well. If your dad would give you a call and tell you that he bought a yellow pickup truck, would you believe him? Now, he knew his dad well enough to know that dad would not be apt to buy a yellow pickup truck. And yet, he knew his also knew his dad well enough to know that if his dad said it, that's how it would be. Okay, so I used that, and we dialogued through that. And I used various examples like that. And he actually came after 2 or 3 hours of dialoguing specifically on that point of faith and using those types of examples to help him understand that he's going by his feelings. He doesn't feel like his sins are washed away. He's strictly going by what's going on the feeling side rather than simply believing what the Bible says. If the Bible says it, that's just how it is. I mean, we can't, nowhere does it say that we should follow our feelings. It clearly tells us that we have to go by what the Bible says. And after a long time of dialoguing through that, and him realizing that he's simply walking by feelings, he came to the place where he chose. And I remember the next morning, I spent another half hour with him, but he was at the place where he was starting to choose and move forward. He really wrestled with it yet, but to my knowledge, he's doing well today. But that faith thing is a big thing. But it comes back to, we have to choose to obey and just simply do what the Bible says. If the Bible says, that's how it is. Where we get stuck is when our feelings get in the way. That's where we get stuck. Other questions? I know it's talking. What Brother John was sharing here a couple of weeks ago, and more on the side of being out there witnessing, on that side of things, there's often a need to come to help a person to even believe the Bible. When we're talking about someone who has grown up in a church and has a level of faith that the Bible is true, whatever the Bible says that's true, you've got a foundation to work with. For many out on the streets, that foundation isn't there. And I find that when that foundation isn't there, there's a need to, first, before you even get into the Bible, there's a need to dialogue through. For an example, there are some who simply believe everything is up to every man's own discretion. There are no absolutes. You know what I mean by an absolute? For us, the Bible is the absolute. If the Bible isn't the absolute, what makes it wrong for a man? What makes it wrong for me to kill you? Okay? What makes that wrong? Who says that's wrong? Dialoguing through that type of to where a person starts formulating the need for absolutes. where do absolutes come from? What makes it wrong for one person to kill someone else? What makes it wrong for me to come and steal your car? What makes all that wrong? Well, if there is absolutes, where do those absolutes come from? Those are things that I have pursued when a person does not have the foundation of a Bible. To simply believe in the Bible. If a person has this foundation, you've got a foundation to work off. But out on the streets, seems like many times that's not there. And you actually need to... the thing of absolutes is something that I like to use to help a person sort through where all those things come from. Here's another one. What's the oldest history book in the world? You go into the library, what's the oldest history book in the world? Can anyone tell me what the oldest history book is in the world? The Bible. There is no history book that's older than the Bible. None. And many people don't realize that. But if you can put them on a journey to to find out those things for themselves. And it's a journey. You know, for some, it's a journey to bring them to that place. What I described this evening is more of a condensed version. If someone is at a place where they have interest, you can take them through. These are the core things of helping a person repent and come to a place of clear salvation. Other questions? Yes. Under the influence?
Yeah.
It all depends how far they're gone. If there's a minimal amount, you can dialogue that it sticks enough that it, when they come to a more clear state of mind, they can continue to think about it. I would never try to bring to a place, you know, where actually lead someone through. If they're, you just have to sort your way through it, because if they're too far gone, it's just casting your pearls before the swine. But there seems to be, if it's at a more minimal level where you can dialogue in a reasonable manner, it can actually be an advantage for them when they come to those words sticking in there and their mind rolling with it. Yes.
If you were talking with somebody on the street and you got the question of how do you know that the Bible is true?
How do I know that the Bible is true? One of the clearest scriptures that describes some of that is that the stars and the skies speak of the majesty of God. And taking or encouraging a person to just go out on a clear night and lay there and just look at the stars, look at the skies, and ask God if He's there. That's scripture is fairly clear. I forget exactly where that verse is, but it talks about it speaking. And it speaks. And if you can get a person to where they open themselves to the majesty of the stars and the heavens speaking and declaring, I've heard testimonies of people who didn't believe, and they laid under the stars and started communicating, and it brought them to repentance. And it brought them to a place where there was a clear believing in God when that was in question. Other comments or questions? Yes. Good. It's good. Okay, I think we'll close with that. Maybe we could all rise to our feet.